Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is B'Metzia Daf Mem Tes. B'Metzia Mem Tes. We left off Mem Ches Amud Beis. We started the sugya of Mishapar already after two dafs. Let's go back. I know it's pretty far. It's pretty far up. You go all the way back to Mishapar. No, let's pick it up. We already discussed that Machlokes Abaye and Rava, whether or not we issue the curse, the Chachamim issue the curse, or the Chachamim just simply notify the fellow that if he retracts and reneges on his deal, that in Shemayim there will be a curse of retribution, that Mishapar from Dar Mabel, Dar Flaga, right, will stay by Myra, Mitzrayim, will take back retribution from him as well. And we brought a story with the Chibar Esef and the Mar Tribing Araya, whether or not it's us giving the curse or Shemayim, and the Mar deflected the Raya. So let's pick it up from, we actually got further than that as well. Let's put from Itmar a Ravin. A Ravin meaning a down payment. Down payment. Because ultimately the Mar deflected and said that was the story of Chibar Esef. He had accepted the down payment, and he was not going to renege on the portion corresponding to the down payment, but he wanted to renege on the rest because the value went up. Is that called a reneging or not? And even that, he was told by Rabbi Yechanan that he should not renege. So let's go into the Machlokes. We started yesterday, but a little before the midway point of the page on Mem Ches Beis, Itmar, a Ravain, Rava me connect Ukaina, Rabbi Amar connect Kulik Ukaina. There's a Machlokes when a person gives a down payment. Is by giving a down payment, is he kind of corresponding, he's kind of everything, or is he only kind of corresponding that amount? Meaning, he gave the money, but do we say, and he clearly only gave a partial money. It's what we call in the modern day a deposit. So this deposit, is it a kinyan for everything and he just like owes the rest of the money, like a milva? Or it's not really kinda keneged, it's not kinda keneged everything, it's only a kinyan keneged the portion that he paid. So it's machlokes. Rav says it's only connected the portion that you paid. Rabbi Yechon says it's connected everything. Ask more kashan Rav. Meis ve'ayin I say Rav in the chaver right. Rav malay imani chaser b. A fellow gives a ravain security like it's a deposit to his friend, and he says if I'm chaser if running machalav. So security actually would be the more proper term of it. It's not some deposit. He's saying if I retract and decide not to buy it, keep it. It's bamish security. Keep it. Running machalav. And the seller says to the buyer, if I renege, I will double back your security. I'll pay you double the value of the security from what was being sold. What's the halacha? Rabbi says, the tanayim are makuyim. Why? Yisayin. This is really not part of our sugya, but it really opens up a whole separate conversation of asmachta kanya. Rabbi says, asmachta kanya, let's jump into Rashi. Rashi's classic title, Asmachta Kanya. Rashi says, Haftachas Guzma, Shadam Haftiach, Eschaveri, Lispechalov, Shimlei Kaim, Tanai, Yitik Havkach. It's an exaggerated Haftacha, meaning the person doesn't really intend to ever get to this point, but he promises it. It's an exaggerated Haftacha. He never intends for it to get there. But if such happens, I'll give you kafkach. He makes a pretty strong commitment. Of course, that's the famous sugis about betting and making deals. Is betting considered under the guideline of asmachta? And if it is asmachta, what's the lacha? Is asmachta kanya or not? So Rabbi Yosi asmachta is kanya, and that's probably here why they both are making these we'll call it these wild commitments. That if I don't come through on the deal, keep the deposit I gave you. And the other guy says, if I don't sell it to you, I'm going to double back your security. So Rabbi Yosi it works because asmachta is kanya. Bidaimer, dayeshik nekenegav. If Yehuda says no, all the deposit, security deposit works for is to acquire the portion corresponding to the security deposit. That it works for. You gave money for the deposit corresponding to that portion that you kind of, but more than that, not. Says Gemara, Amar Shem Gamil, Bemet Vamamurim, when do we say, this is a qualification in Rabuda, Bemet Vamamurim is Banish Amalai, Ervani Yikon. When do we say this? When the buyer said to the seller, Ervani Yikon, my security should acquire. Avo, Machle, Bayes, Esadab, Elf, Zuz. But if the seller was selling to the buyer a house, where Mem Ches Beis about two-thirds of the way down the page, if the seller was selling to the buyer a house or a field worth 1,000 zuz, upar lemehem chamesh mea zuz, and the buyer paid a deposit, he paid a down payment, or he paid a portion of 500 zuz, kana, he's kind of the entire house or field. Why? Meaning, even though the price is 1,000 zuz, you only pay 500, he's kind of the whole thing. In a case where you didn't say lashon of ervayni yikain, you just made a deal, I'm going to buy this off you for 1,000, and then you gave half the money, it's clear, it's understood that what I'm doing is I'm giving you half the money to buy the entire field and buy the entire house. And the rest of it is what we call modern day a VTB. It's a vendor take back. It's a loan. You owe it. You have to pay it over time. But avada, the sale is complete and the rest of the money is simply owed. It's not that you bought part of the house or part of the field. You bought the whole house, the whole field, and the rest of the money is owed. That's a qualification within Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda says, Zayay, it's enough to be kind of connected to the deposit. That's the way he says the words. He says, Evrayni Yikon, my deposit should acquire. I'm not saying you can stop giving you a deposit. I'll give you a deposit that should acquire corresponding that amount. But in general, if it wasn't a deposit, and he didn't say the words Evrayni Yikon, it was just an agreement to buy for 1,000, and he gave him half the money, and he didn't say that it's like a down payment or a deposit. Then he's carrying everything, and the rest is a milveh. Now, here's the Raya against Rav. Rav held that when a person makes a ravin, a deposit, he's kind of only connected the deposit. And Rav Yechon held, you know, he's connected everything. It's connected. He has a right to everything. The deposit secures him a right to the entire item he's purchasing. So my love, what did the metaltalin? That Bryce was talking about karka. The assumption is the same halachot apply to metaltalin. If you stamazai give money, a part of the money, without specifying, then you acquire everything, not just connected the amount of money that you paid. And this applies, we're assuming, by metaltan as well, just like we said, by karka. And therefore, it's a riot to Rabbi Yechon, it's a kasha and rav. Mar says, loy, metaltan stamazai kani. The Mar says, no, it's a bichalik. By metaltan, we're... A person gives the money stama without declaring that it's a whether it's a security or not. He's not kaina. We don't say he's kaina. The idea is because the idea is that he's the more explains. Maishna, why not? Kid karka bekas bekani le mamish. So the Gemara explains the reason, the difference between karka and metal is very simple. By karka, where the kinyan is kinyan kesef. Kinyan kesef is one of the three ways to be kinyan karka. Kesef, shtar chazaka. So that's a kinyan lemaisa on karka's kesef. So when you give money and you don't specify it's a deposit, you're being kind of the entire karka. And therefore, if someone wants to renege, if the party receives the money wants to renege, he's certainly going to be over on a mishapar. It could be, he can't be, it's even more than a mishapar. It could be, he can't even renege because the kinyan was already in effect. Whereas by metaltalin, since really kesef is not a kinyan by metaltalin, whether it's deraisa not a kinyan, like Rish Lakish says, or whether the deraisa is a kinyan by metaltalin, but we said it's not a kinyan by metaltalin. Either way, lamaisa, kesef is not a kinyan by metaltalin, by movable items, money's not a kinyan. So therefore, what's the whole issue when you give money? There's a mishapara, there's the curse of reneging on a deal. Is the wrong thing, and a person gets a curse for that. Okay, but over there where money's not as powerful, so a partial deposit will only be kind of corresponding that amount, will only be kind of mishapara. This idea of mishapara only corresponding that amount, but not corresponding the whole thing. Karaka, where kesef is a full-fledged kinyan, it's kind of everything, even though you only give part of the money, and the rest is a milva. The tatlu, where kesef is not a kinyan at all, this that it's a kinyan for, namely mishapara, according to Rav, will only be on the portion you paid for, not the rest. So essentially, Rav is answering, don't bring me a raya for a price about karka, because Rav and Mariachan are arguing about metaltalin, and metaltalin has a different guideline than karka. Okay, so that's Gemara. Lema kitanai. Let us say this machlek is Rav and Mariachan, where the partial payment, again, the case is where a person is buying an item, he's buying metaltalin, he gives a partial payment, and the question is, if the seller who received that partial payment reneges, is it a mishapara for reneging only on the portion they received payment for, but the rest of it he's not considered. So let's say only reneges on that portion. Let's say the guy gave him $3, and he's buying. Let's say 10 shtenders for $10. Keep it simple numbers. 10 shtenders for $10, and he put a down payment down for $3. So do we say the mishapara is on all 10 shtenders? If the seller decides not to sell them, he's doing mishapara for all 10. Or do we say no, only for the 3 that he received money for? Is a mishapara, but not for the other 3. Rav says only for the ones you receive money. Rabbi Yechon says it's a mishapara for everything because there was a deal over here, and he retracting, and therefore the curse applies to all of it. Says Gemara, let us say this machlekes was already debated by the Tanoim. Lema ketanoi, why? Because the price as follows: towards the bottom of Memchaz Meis, Hamavas Chaver Al Mashkin, one who lends his friend money against a Mashkin. V'nichas Shmita, and then Shmita arrives. We know the halacha is when a person has money owing and Shmita arrives, the malv is no longer allowed to collect. Le'igash, he has to relinquish his chayv. He's not allowed to collect it. So in this case, there's a mashkin. So that changes things. Why? Because the malva has a security as a collateral against the debt before Shemitah came ready. So, and he's just holding it, waiting for the money to be paid and to give back the mashkin, but Lamaisi has that security. says the Braisa. So Mavas Chavir Mashkin Nechzav Mishmita Shmita comes Afa Bishen Shavel Plag. Even if the Mashkin's only worth half the loan, ain't a Mishamet. The Reb Shmuel. The fact that there's a Mashkin here, it makes it that the loan is on Mishamet. The loan is not canceled. Vida Nasi Aimer Imay Mashkin Kiregin Avasai. Ain't a Mishamet. Vim Lav Mishamet. Vida Nasi says depends. If the Malva corresponds the loan in total, then the loan's not canceled. But if the Malva, if the Mashkin, I should say, does not correspond the loan, if the Mashkin is less than the loan, then the loan is canceled by Shemitah if the loan is greater than the Mashkin. And the Mar explains, Mayna Mishamet to cover Mishamet. Mishamet says that the loan is not canceled because of the Mashkin. What does that mean? If Rav Shmuel is just saying, let's say the loan was $1,000 and the mashkin was $500. So if Rav Shmuel is saying only connected the mashkin, only 500 of the 1,000 is not canceled, but the other 500, which is above the mashkin, is canceled, that would mean Mechad Rida Nasi Sefer, Rida Nasi holds that even with the mashkin, even the half that the mashkin corresponds is absolved. Ask the Gemara top of Tesman Aleph, El Mashkin, the Rakalay, Lavalay. What was the point of the mashkin? The Gemara doesn't mean how much was the point of the mashkin. The Gemara just means to say, why shouldn't the mashkin serve? The whole point of the mashkin is that it's a security. If the lender doesn't get back, he has his mashkin. So he already has that payment before Shemitah. So why should that not work? Why should that portion of the loan, at least the portion corresponding to the mashkin, not be affected? That should not be affected by Shemitah. So that's fair to say that. El Alav, rather, what must be? Says the loan is not mishamet. It means mishamet bekulei. The fact that there's a mashkin against part of the debt, it protects the entire loan from being canceled b'shmita. Rudanasi says that the loan is mishamet. What does he mean? The loan is canceled. The half that has no mashkin corresponding yet, that is absolved. That is canceled. But avad the half that has a mashkin is not canceled. So let's think about what the machlekes is. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you look at the mashkin and we say the mashkin, which is against part of the loan, protects just that part of the loan. And Rosh Hashanah is saying it protects the entire loan. That's Mamash Lekama Chalekis, whether the security deposit is a kenyan for the whole thing, or just a kenyan for the part that corresponds the security deposit. Uva Pligi, let's say that's the Chalekis. Rosh Hashanah Savar, Keneget Kulei Kaina. Just like a security is kind of connected the entire purchase, so to have by the loan, it's the mashkin is kind of a protection against the entire loan, even though it's only a part mashkin. But Rav Yehuda Manasi Savar, connected kind, it's only kind of against corresponding its value. So the chura, our machlekes, Rav Yehuda, seems to be a machlekes of Shigomil and Rav Yehuda, namely that Rav, who says it's Kenegda, goes like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yechon, who says that it's Kenegda Kula, goes like Shigomil, says more light. No, we're not going to say this. Actually, before we go further, just an interesting point for the Ktseis. The Ktseis discusses that according to Rav Yehuda, that the Mashkin only protects half the Chayv. The Ktseis says, but an interesting Chap. What if the Leiva goes and pays back half? And the Leiva wasn't smart enough to say, give me the Mashkin, like let's give it to a third party, I'll give the money to a third party half, and then he'll do the exchange. Levi didn't do that. If the Levi gives the Mashkin 50% payment, gives the Malva 50% payment, and then the Malva says, it's great you pay me 50%, I'm still not giving you back your Mashkin. You still owe me 50%. You owe me $400, that he could do. That wouldn't be an issue of the egos. Since he had a Mashkin in his hands, he's not mechuyev to give out the Mashkin until he's fully paid. So even though the Mashkin only corresponds to half, and there's a Din of Shemitah, unbelievable. There's a Din of Shemitah that says the loan has to be absolved. By Shemitah, one has to absolve all loans. However, this guy is holding a mashkin, and even though mashkin is only corresponding half, he can keep that half and double collect, so to speak. He can receive half corresponding to mashkin. It really goes back a step further. If the leiva comes and says, "I'm going to pay you anyway. I know the loan is absolved. I don't feel good. I don't like it. I borrowed money from you. I know you're out your money. I want to pay you back." The malva is allowed to accept it. The malva should say, "I don't want to take it. There's a shemitah." And the leiva says, "Afal pi kan, I still want to pay." The malva can take the money. So with that in mind, so we're taking it a step further. We're saying if the malva accepts the payment corresponding to the mashkin, cool, 50% of the debt, and for some reason he hadn't given yet back the mashkin to the leiva, he could say now, "I'm not giving back until I get another half," because he now has half corresponding the remaining half debt, and therefore that works. That is a interesting chiddush in the ktzais. Further, before we go further again, before the mer is going to deflect. Why? You know, let's read then the gemara, then we'll go back actually to the general idea of this hashmata shmita. Let's finish the gemara. So the gemara says no, don't align the machlekes amram Rav Rabbi Yechon with Rosh Gomil and Rabbi Yehuda. Why? My inner mishamet to cover Rosh Gomil. I'll tell you what Rosh Gomil says. The loan's not mishamet. It means the hachpalga the nakel mashkin. Abada Rosh Gomil only meant the half of mashkin, the half of debt. They have a mashkin on. That's what's not absolved by shmita. However, the other half is absolved. We said Machalder Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar Lach Pagi Darke La Mashke Nami Mishamet. That means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds that the entire loan is canceled, even the part that has a mashkin. Says Gemara. And the mashkin Darke Lamalei. Like we asked before, top line of the page. What was the point of the mashkin if that's the case? Lezichroin Dvarim Baalma. You're right. The mashkin was simply a reminder. The mashkin is not really a kinyan, even against part. The mashkin is what we call it's a zichron. It's a reminder. It's zichron Dvarim Baalma. It's a way as a memory tool for the borrower to realize he owes money and he's got to pay. But that's all it is. It's just a. It's like a, it's instead of having another shtar, a record of the loan, it's kind of a reminder to the loan. The fact that there's a mashkin there is a reminder to the loan, but it's not more than that. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of shmita, the total loan is absolved, and the mashkin secures him nothing. So the merchant deflected and said, "Our machlekes here in the brisa between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda does not necessarily have to say machlekes Rabbi Meir. It could be everyone agrees to the shita of Rav." That you only connect the kaina, you only connect by mashkin, by a deposit, connected the deposit. And over here on the contrary, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, by shmita, you don't even get that much because the loan is b'shemit with shmita. Now the Mishainim, it's actually brought in the Sefer Mitzvah Melech, he brings three approaches to how shmita is b'shamit, how it works, meaning what the mechanics are. He brings for the Mordechai, that avada happens automatically. Once shmita happens, by the way, it's machlekes if the loans are absolved at the beginning of shmita, or the end of Shemitah. We typically go, it's the end of Shemitah, when we write the principle, right? Every 7 years, when we write a principle, we typically write it before the next year, by the end of Shemitah, before the next year, because we learn that the Hashmata comes in the beginning, and the 7th year, beginning of the 8th year, that's when the Hashmata comes. Okay, but the point is that the Hashmata comes automatically. But even though Hashmata comes automatically, it's a mitzvah for the lender to declare, I'm absolving the chayv. So even though it happens automatic, there's a mitzvah for the lender. It happens whether he declares it or not. But there's a mitzvah for the lender to declare, I'm not collecting the chayiv, I'm relinquishing the chayivus. And he connects this too, famously, the mitzvah Zamelech connects his Mordechai too, the idea by Bechar. We know a firstborn cow, firstborn sheep, the halach is, as there's a mitzvah for these firstborn animals, of giving it to the kohen, as in a bechar, you give it to the kohen, it goes to the mizbeach when the mizbeach is around. It's as kushas bechar, these firstborn animals, a male firstborn of the kosher animals has in a bechar. But the halacha is, even though it's automatically it's a bechar, there's a mitzvah for the owner of the animal, of the parent animal, to declare this is a bechar. There's a mitzvah to be mekadosh the bechar. It exists whether mekadosh or not. And where else do we find the concept? We do it every single week, Friday night. There's a mitzvah. Shabbos is Shabbos, whether we declare it or not. Every Friday night is Shabbos. We don't have to declare. But there's a mitzvah to declare it a Shabbos. There's an actual mitzvah. There's a discussion of the mitzvah deraisa is even Kiddush al Yayin, or we yaitza the mitzvah deraisa by simply davening Ma'ariv Friday night. We yaitza, and the Rabbanon was supposed to add the wine. Okay, we typically say that we yaitza our Kiddush on wine in the Mufka way. It's like we have it tonight by Ashman Esrei, that even though we're being Mekad the Shabbos in Ashman Esrei Friday night, we yaitza our Kiddush with wine on over wine, because that's the Iker mitzvah. The point is, it's Shabbos whether declared or not, but we still have a mitzvah to declare. That's the Mordechai's approach to Shemitah, that the loan is absolved regardless, but it's a mitzvah to declare. That's the Mordechai. Sefer Chinuch learns that no, the mitzvah is, the way the mitzvah works is, that normally you go and do a mitzvah. You shake lulav and esrog, you eat matzah. Over here, you passively, I mean Shabbos, you rest from halacha. Over here, resting from collecting. His not going to collect, that's his scheme of the mitzvah league. So Taka, it's not to say the loan's automatically absolved, it's his not going to collect, that's his scheme. And I guess the primary difference is he's agreeing that maybe the loans are canceled. But whereas the Mordechai was saying, you're supposed to declare I am absolving the loan, according to Sefer Chinuch, we're saying it's the lack of going to collect it, that's where you have that's the mekim of the mitzvah of the higos. And based on Rambam, they want to say it's actually a mitzvah to be mafkir the chayiv. So it's even stronger. Not that I'm not going to collect the declaration, and not that he passively sits back and doesn't go collect. He has to actively go and be mafkir the chayiv, samach to that moment. So let's just say Shemitah, the chayiv is absolved at the very end of the 7th year. Right before the event, he's supposed to declare, I'm mafka the chayv, because the mitzvah of the Torah, he has to make a proper declaration and actually be mafka the chayv. That's what they bring from Shitas Rambam. Three different, again, not so far different lemaisa, but three different mahalchim and how to approach the Hashmata Shemitah, the absolving of debt coming into Shemitah. Okay. Rav Kani Avilei Zuzi Akiska. Back to the story of Misha Perez and maisas happened with Amaron. Rav Kana, he was given, people gave him money as a payment for linen, kisna, flax. And the flax went up in value. Also, the Rav came with the Rav for a psak, what's he allowed to do? What does he have to keep to commitment? And what can he get out of? He was suffering, you know, it was a big boon that he was able to, or giving up. Amar lein, b'may din akita zuze, havlu, v'iduch tvarm ninu, u'dvarm eim be mishim mechusar amana. Big words. That what you took money for, that you got to give. You, whatever corresponding, the money that you received, this is Rav. Rav says, corresponding deposit, there's a kinyan. Corresponding the money you received, there's going to be Amy Shapara, you have to give it to him. Whereas, anything above that, that's just words. It's a verbal commitment, and a verbal commitment doesn't have is not called Mechusar Amana. A person doesn't lose a sense of trustworthiness by not keeping a verbal commitment, which sounds pretty oxymoron. He doesn't keep his verbal commitment, and that doesn't make him a Mechusar Amana. First, we'll explain, when there's clearly, I don't want to say extenuating circumstances, when there's clearly a legitimate excuse. Why not? Meaning, if you only paid me for part and the market went up, why should you get that benefit over me? Just because we agreed we were going to do a deal, but we didn't do the deal yet. There's two sides to the coin. One side is, oh, we have the commitment, the deal's done. I was for sure going to pay you. Yeah, okay, but maybe what if you wanted to pay me? Then you'd agree that I get to keep it, obviously. So just because we verbally agreed, if there's extenuating, circumstances may sound a little bit extreme, but if there's a good reason, then we don't say that because you gave a verbal agreement, it's mechusar amana. But on the part that you took a down payment, you can't give back the money and say, I'm keeping the goods to sell at a higher price. That would be a problem. Mishabara. Ditmar explains, we learned, Dvarim, when it comes to words, a verbal commitment, a mere verbal commitment, Rav Amayim Mishabuchus Amana, there's no Mishabuchus Amana, it's not considered a lack of trustworthiness, not keeping his word. There is a lack of trustworthiness just by not keeping his word. And again, I have to reiterate, it sounds not so exciting that not keeping your word is not a lack of trustworthiness. We're talking about where the circumstances dictate that it's normal. It would be normal for a person to retract in such a case. It's almost like, even when you agree to the deal, it's understood, you agree to the deal, but if something comes up, then obviously terms could change until it's done. Meisvei, ask more question. The question says, you should have correct measurements, hinsedek. It already says over there, the pasuk, about having proper measurements. It said, the Lashon actually is, moiznei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifa tzedek, v'hinsedek yilchem. Correct scales, weights, and eifa, and correct hin. So it says many times, the Lashon is having correct measurements. What's the addition of the word having a correct hin? And Lamelachot to tell you, she hin from Lashon hin. Hin is yes. Hin shalchot tzedek, flav shalchot tzedek. That when you say yes or no, let your word have meaning. Keep your word. Let your word have meaning. So with Darshan the Pasuk, that your agreement is something you have to, your verbal agreement is something you have to keep to, and it's usher to renege on a commitment. It says, so why are we saying it's okay? I'm Rabbaye, according to Rav. No, that means initially. Initially, when you are making the commitment, it has to be sincere. Initially, a person shouldn't be speaking in the mouth one thing and having in mind in his heart another thing and trying to delude or trick the other party. But if he really meant it, that circumstances changed and there was no kinyan actually done, then we're saying that it's not considered a negative or an isser of, or even a mechusar amana, a lack of trustworthiness by reneging. Meisvei. Esmer another kasha against Rav's Pak. Rav Shimon Aimer, Afish Amru, Talos Kainit, we quoted this price yesterday. Talos Kainit, even though we said a talus, which is the Paris, that's the Paris, is kind of me making Mashiach on the talus, you're kind of the Dinazov, that's corresponding it, but not opposite. Vain Dinazov, kind of talus, but if you do an active Kenyan on the Dinazov, you're not carrying the talus, because that's money. Money doesn't work to make a Kenyan, so you can renege on the deal. Even so, even though this halacha can reneg, avalamru mishpar mashdar maba mashdar falga uasli para b'mishen noyim b'dibori. We said the one who took retribution for the dar maba dar falga will take retribution for those that reneg on the deal. That's not aimed b'dibori. So we see very clearly that going back on just a verbal commitment, all you have over there is a verbal commitment. We don't see any money changing hands, and still there's a mishapara. So that obviously means it's mechusar amana. It's considered a lack of trustworthiness, and there's a curse that comes to such a person. How can Rav say it's not a problem? The Gemara says not shver. Tanoi, because machlekes tanoim, it's really machlekes that precedes Rav. The Tan we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah coming up in about 30-35 blot on Daf Pei Gimel in this Masechta. Story with Rechem Masiyah said to his son, "Say schar lanu pa'alim, go and hire workers for us." Halacha pasuk amazaynus, and the son went and hired workers, and he made a commitment to feed them food. And when he came back to his father, and told him he hired workers, he committed to feed them food. The father said, "Oh, you made a mistake." Even if you feed a suud like shleima b'shaitei, shleima in his time, in his heyday. It was an immense feast. You're not yet to them. Why not? You went to go hire Yiddish workers, Shebni Avritz Yaakov. Your Yiddish workers, the sons of Avritz Yaakov, they're entitled to the best of meals, the best of foods. Save Ella, Ashley Ashilu Mlacha, before they start work, save Amalahem, Amanasha Ein Lachem Alai Ella Pasvakinis Bavad. Make sure to temper their expectations and say, before you start the work, let's be clear, my commitment to feed you is bread and beans. I said I'm gonna feed you. It doesn't mean I'm gonna feed you a five star Michelin chef meal. I'm just gonna feed you bread and beans. That's enough to satisfy my obligation. So what do you see? You see that initially he said, I'm going to hire you and pay you food. And the father told told the son, that commitment, that general commitment, would obligate you, the Bnei Avrit Tzviakov, to feed them the five-star meal. And yet he's able to renege before the work starts. If it's there's a matter of trustworthiness, you made a commitment, you can't retract. How is he able to retract before they start? Teretz is, it must be, that Rabbi Yechon Mamasya also is of the opinion that a verbal commitment is not something, is not considered reneging until there's actual kinyan done. A verbal commitment alone is not considered reneging, and that would fit like Rav. The first one just point out, why do we say, he said, I'm going to give you a meal, and the father said, you committed to give the workers a meal, you have to give them a meal like Shlomo Melech. Why? Because the Bnei Avrits of Yaakov. What's the specialty of Bnei Avrits of Yaakov? I mean, it's obviously very special. What does that do with getting a big meal? Because we know the Pasuk describes that Avraminu made a Mishtah Gadol. He made a big meal for the people when he, so we have the concept, we find the concept of Avraminu also making big meals, and therefore the descendants of Avrits of Yaakov are entitled to expect big meals. That's the explain. So the first Rebbe asks, nice pshat, the problem is, then why say Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? Just say, we're Bnei Avram, and therefore it's not the big meal. So they explain, because if we just say Bnei Avram, that would include Bnei Yishmael. Yishmael was Ben Avram, and it would include also Bnei Esav, because Esav was Ben Yitzchak. By saying Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that expectation that we are entitled to these big sudas is dafka for the lineage of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Give Yitzchak Kar Chazara, dafka Avram Yitzchak Yaakov had that right to have that expectation. If it wouldn't be from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, then they wouldn't have that right. That's what the Brisa stresses it all. It's Taisyantim Shabbat, by the way. It's Taisyantim, not my own. That's what the Brisa stresses it all to exclude from Esav and Yishmael. Okay. Says more further, not a raya. Why? We try to bring a raya that we see that there's a backup for Rav, that Rav can hold like this, Rabbi Yechon Ben Masya. Says more, no. You could compare. That wasn't such a good raya. Because in that case, the workers themselves didn't really rely on the son's words. Because they knew the son is not running the business. The son was just going to go hire workers. The son was an employee, so to speak. The son was, a shliach of the father. So just because the son committed the world, they knew until they get that commitment from the father, they had no meaning. So if the laborers knew that the commitment from the son wasn't really representative necessarily of the father, so then why did the Merichah Masa specify that the son should make sure to make clear the commitment of bread and beans only, bread and legumes, before they start working? What's the difference? Gemara says that hischu melacha b'adei samcha daitu. Because once they start working and nothing changed, they were told they're going to get, suda. They're expecting big sudas. And they start working, no one changed it. Then already the samcha das. Because then they'll say it must be, he told the father the whole deal, and the father didn't argue, so must be we're entitled to it. So therefore it had to be stopped before they started the work. But before they started the work, they weren't semertas. Since they weren't semertas, they didn't expect it. That's not considered reneging, not a riot to Rav, that one could renege on a verbal commitment. Asked Rav Yechon and say that reneging on a verbal commitment alone is considered mechus amana. If a guy says, friend, I'm going to give you a matana, yachlach zavai, he could be chaser. Rabbi Yechonon is the author. Rabbi Chanan the Miracle says, a person says, a friend, when even Tanik B'chazer, I Rabbi Yechonon says, reneging on one's words is considered B'chus Amana. Says the Mura, Yachol, the first word is this, Yachol, he could be Chazer, Pshit, of course he'd be Chazer. Elo, what it means is Mutlach, but he's allowed to be Chazer, not just time, he's able to. He's allowed to, and we see it's not B'chus Amana. So Mura says, very simple, Amra Papa, Maid Rabbi Yechonon, Matan Mu'atah, Samcha Dai Tayu. Remember, it gives a big qualification, that even Rabbi Yechonon agrees, by a small Matana, it would be B'chus Amana. Rabbi Yechon holds reneging on one's words b'chus amana. By big matana, what's the idea? Same story. Guy says, I'm going to give you a car. Okay, sure. Like the person who's on the receiving end doesn't really expect it to happen. He's not really believing. He's not saying if that's happening. So therefore, the reneging is not a reneging because it wasn't expected. But a smaller matana, on a small matana, there would be eri neged. If you saw says ben Levi, kor meiser yesh to biyadi. You saw says ben Levi, there's a kor meiser for you in my possession. Meaning you saw us to give meiser to the Levi. And he says to a specific Levi, I have a kor meiser for you. Ben Levi rosh alasas trumas meiser magmacher. It's so committed that ben Levi is able to go and use that for Trumas Meiser on other Meiser. Levi has to give 10% of his Meiser to Kohen. Levi could say, oh, you have X amount of Meiser for me, I'm going to use that as Trumas Meiser on something else. Now, if you say that the Yisrael cannot be Chayzer from his commitment, that's what Levi could declare it as Trumas Meiser for something else. If you say that the Yisrael can actually be Chayzer, how can Levi declare that Trumas Meiser? If he doesn't ultimately get this Meiser, if the Yisrael reneges, the Levi's going to end up eating Tevel, so it must be you can't renege. It must be you can't renege. Now, just to make clear, why is this called Matana Moetas? I'm saying on a large Matana, you're allowed to renege. We're calling this Matana Moetas, it could be a core of wheat. It's Matana Moetas because the one giving it has to give it. The Yisrael has no choice. He has to give it to a Levi. The fact that he's choosing this Levi is nice. It's like a gift, but it's a Matana Moetas. It's not a big gift. Small gifts, we say, automatically the Smichas Das, the recipient, expects to receive it. He has Smichas Das, and therefore we're saying he can't renege. And this is considered a small gift because it's just the Tevis Hanah. Says Gemara, not a Raya. The case is where the Levi took possession of and then went back and gave it left as a deposit by the Yisrael. Ask the Gemara 1 second. So they're talking about we mamish took possession. So it's mamish his, and that's why he can make Trumas Meiser from Machmacher onto this Meiser. Yachi, aim a safe, go to the safe of that psak of Rabbi Yochanan. Nasta ben Levi Acher. If the Yisrael went then and gave it to a different Levi instead, ain lay elot terumas. If the Meiser, the Yisrael gave it to a different Levi instead, the first Levi only has terumas. The first Levi only has complaints, but not more. He has no monetary taina. But if he already gave it to the first Levi, Levi was kainit, and gave back to him as a pekadim, just as a deposit to watch it, then he stole it from him. What do you mean only has terumas? Because if he gave it to the Mishra, gave it to the first Levi. And the Levi went and gave it back as a pekadim, but it belongs to Levi. Am I only of terumas? When the Yisrael gives it to another Levi, why is it only terumas? Keep the mashkev mainal is like gabe. Once he does mashicha, it becomes this Levi's, and it's outright gzeila elash vamina. But not elash vamina. Go back to our original assumption. We're talking about where the Levi never took possession, and since there was a commitment to give it to him, and it's a matana muetas, that's considered smichas das, considered enough for a kinyan, and therefore you can take terumas ma'isus of makmacher. So we see a raya to this idea that a matana muetas, we say that it's considered mechus amana. A big matana, we made the distinction before, that we don't say it's mechus amana because it's not really expected. Ho gavra. There's a fellow who paid money for sesame. Let's say Yaakov Shoshmi, and then sesame went up in value before he took possession of it. Hadubuv amrele. The sellers went back on the deal and said, we're out. We're sold out. Shkol Zuzah, take back your money. Sorry, we sold out. Leshak Zuzah, he didn't take his money. Ignav, the money was then stolen from the sellers. He didn't want to take his money back because he was upset at the game they were playing. So the money then got stolen. So what's the halach over there? Also, come to Rava. I'm Malay. Rava says, "Keep it on me, lachshel zuzuf leshakos." You were told to take back money, you didn't take it. Maybe they're over mechus amana, but you were told to take back money, you didn't take it. Lame by shem esach davi. Not only are the sellers not called shem esacher, elafisha mechinam avi. Not even shem mechinam. They didn't want to keep the money. They want you to take it back. You didn't take it. It's your problem. Your loss got stolen. They are exempt. Omer abadon. Amalei abadon the Rava. Vel by kibuli le mishapara. What about the mishapara? Amalei hachanami avada. Mishapara they have. The sellers reneged on the deal. They're subject to the curse of Mishapar, that they are. But they don't have to pay back the money. They're not responsible for that money. Amr Papi, Amli Ravina, Lidzi Amla Homer Abanan, Rav Tivish May, one of the brothers said to me, namely Rav Tivis, Vamila, Rav Shmuel Brazutra Shmei, some says Rav Shmuel Brazutra, Tiya Haviavli, Kol Chalodama. If he was such an honest guy, that if they'd give him all the treasures of the world, Levi Mishan Bidibure, he would never deviate from his original agreement. He would go back, even with all that we said before, the machlekes, whether it's a problem to go back on a word if circumstances change. And he's saying no matter what they give him, he wouldn't go back. But yeah, the Ovda, there was talking a story with, it was a story with me, the story of the sesame, and here's the story. It was Friday towards Shabbos. I have Yisvina, I was sitting at home. Vasa Gavra, Vakai Baba, the guy came to the door. Amalei said to me, Israel Shoshu, those wounded, you have sesame to sell. Amalei, so I said to him, I don't know if sesame to sell. Amalei, Lavi Hanach Zuzi Bekad, let this money be a deposit for you, by you. So I told him, I don't have sesame to sell. Tachashkalei, it's getting dark anyway, Shabbos coming, I can't walk around money. Amalei, Habes Kamach, So I said to him, my house is in front of you. No problem. Leave your money in my house. It's yours to leave. I speak to basically Vignev. He left the money in my house and it was stolen. Asakabay de Rava. So they came in front of Rava. Amar le Rava says, Kol ha-beisa kamach. Whatever one says, my house is in front of you. By saying my house is in front, open to you, I'm saying it's at your disposal. At your own risk, leave the money. But I'm not taking any achrayas. That's why he'd have to pay. Nothing to do with the story set before. Last 10 seconds. I'm sorry. It's late. Where's Mishapar coming in this version of the story? That wasn't ever part of the story. It was made up. Again, yeah, so the story that was said originally was factually wrong. There was never even a conversation about Misha Paras, and there was never a sale here, and a reneging on the sale. It was all just a deposit because he asked if he could buy a shumshiman. There was no shumshiman, and he just said, let me just leave the money by you as a deposit. And the guy did not accept responsibility. He opened up his house for him to come to leave wherever he wants at his own risk. Says the Gemara. Rav Shimon Amir, we said the Mishnah, Kol Shakesef Yodai Yodai Yena. Whoever's holding the money, he's a Yodai Yena. So the Tanakh Ahmed said, until you do Mashiach, there's no sale there. And Rav Shimon came along and said, no. If the Simu Rav Shimon is saying is, if the seller has the money in his hands, he's calling the shots. He can renege or not, but the buyer can't renege when the seller has the money. The Bryce now elaborates on Rav Shimon. Tanya, Amr Shimon, Amos Abbas Manchakesef Apeiris Biad Meicher. When do we say that the seller has the rights to renege or not, that he's got all the power? When both the money and the produce are still by him. He's got everything. So he can want, if he wants, he can keep the sale in place. If he wants, he can renege. There's no Mashiach done yet, and he can give back the money and renege. Aval, kesef biad meicher, payas biad lekeach. What if the seller has the money and the payas was already in the possession of the lekeach? The seller can only be chaser, because the buyer's money is already in his hand. In the seller's hand. Ask the Gemara, what's that argument? Because the buyer's money is in the seller's hand, that's why the seller can't renege. Biyadai, biyad meicheru. It sounds like you're saying the buyer's money, the money's in his hand. If the buyer's money was in the buyer's hand, and the seller can't, that'll be a weakness of the seller, maybe that'll make some sense. But the buyer's money's in the seller's hand, we just said. So the Gemara, here's what we mean. Ella, mepesha, demei kaspai biyadai. The money, it means to say that the value of the money is in his hands, meaning in the buyer's hands, meaning what? The payers. Since the money was being exchanged for payers, and those very same payers are already in the hands of the buyer, so the seller can no longer renege, the seller can't retract from the deal. Isn't that Pasha? If there's a transaction going on, and the seller received the money, and the buyer already did the mashiach on the goods, so of course the seller can't renege. We all said once the buyer has the items, has the goods, the seller can't renege. Amarava hachamaskinan, kashayis aliyah shalakech mishkeres biad meicher. We have a very specific case. Yehuda's favorite answer, Hacham Ma'eskinan. We're talking about where the Aliyah, the addict of the Lekeach, was rented out to the seller. So the borrower's addict was rented to the seller. Now, time might take care about a Mashiach. Remember from yesterday, why we say about a Masakin that Kesef doesn't work, rather Mashiach works for a Kenyan, is because Gzeira Shemirah, because it's a Gzeira that the seller's going to say, your stuff got burnt in the attic. And therefore, the buyer loses out. Over here, the attic is in the buyer's rishus. It's the buyer's attic. Even if a fire comes by us, which we've just pointed out before, because if it wasn't by us, whoever set the fire will have to pay anyway. But even if the fire comes up by us, the buyer will go tend to it. And therefore, there's no need for the gzeira d'rabbanan. And therefore, you don't need the mashicha. And therefore, the kesef istaka alone is enough. That was the chiddush of Rosh Gamil in a case where the seller is renting space from the buyer, and that's where he has the goods, and that's what the buyer is buying. The buyer has the protection that even if something was to happen, he'll go himself and tend to it, and therefore the sale takes effect even with the kesef. I'm not sure why we don't say like bala tam le bala takana. This takana in place. We did say a couple of times already in the past few blat mils l'shchich l'gazer rabbanan. We said mils l'shchich l'gazer rabbanan, something that's not common. We don't make gzeira, so even though Rabbanan made a takana, Hashem nisvich techa baliyah, so it's not common. You're not going to make the takana. I didn't see, unless I missed it, I didn't see over here someone say that the pshat over here is that's a muslim shchiach. It sounds over here a little different. That the reasoning for the takana is irrelevant. And once it's not relevant, we don't have the takana. That's a little bit more of a chiddush because we know we say balatam lo about takana. Okay, let's just go right there. Another two lines. We'll stop. Just get to the Mishnah. Who gavra diyav zuzeh chamra? There's a fellow who paid money for wine. Let's say if shama the kabay lemitzi debay parzak rufia. He paid money for wine and he didn't take possession of the wine yet. And then he heard that the parzak, the officer, planned on repossessing that wine. Amalei havi zuzeh. He said to the seller, he gave money, but he didn't take possession of the product. He said to the seller, "Give back my money."
Levi Nechaimer, I change my mind, I don't need wine. Came from the Amalei, Kadesh, the king of Meshicha Meichrim, just like the Masakin, that by Meichrim, by sellers, you need Meshicha, and the seller is able to renege until the Meshicha is done. So too, the Masakin Meshicha Lekuchas, meaning that the buyer can also renege until the Meshicha. The Meshicha is a two-way street. Meshicha, I mean, really, two-way street. It works seemingly, for the most part, in the buyer's favor, but the buyer can be Chazer, as the seller can be chayzer until there's a proper Meshicha. Since Meshicha was done over here, you're still able to be chayzer. Pause over here. Have a wonderful